Welcome to episode 21 of Artists Mean Business. Today I'm here with Sabina Ott, and she is an educator, artist, sculptor, and we're going to talk about her advice to emerging artists, particularly here in the Chicagoland area. So thanks for being with me today.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks for coming.
So as we sit here in your lovely Oak Park home and studio, I want to take a look back. Was there a moment when you thought, I am an artist, quote unquote? Is there a moment when you feel that decision was made?
It's funny. I always think that I wanted to be an artist by the time I was six. And I don't know how I hit on six as an age where that would have occurred to me. I don't really remember, but I've always said that. So I think there was this, something happened. And I think I was exposed to a Life magazine that was filled with, that had pictures of Pablo Picasso. And I thought, huh, interesting. And I remember seeing him in this room full of work and just painting and covered with stuff. And I thought, I could do this. I like this. I want to do that. And so I remember always telling people that's what I wanted to be when I grew up. I don't think I actually made anything at the time or, knew what that meant at all. But it was an identification point really early on.
Did your parents think anything of that?
They probably thought it was cute. Mm. And they probably didn't believe me either, so they humored me. Mm-hmm. Actually, they were pretty encouraging.
That's lucky, I think. That almost brings me to my next question. I would say, what tools were in your toolbox as a professional that enabled you to be successful? I almost think that one of those tools was having encouraging family support.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. I just met with a student who was telling her parents drove her here from Indiana to be an intern for me this summer.
Wow.
And I was so impressed with that. And I realized, well, yeah, my family would have done that. That there was that kind of support. And that's the kind of support an artist needs. It's really helpful when you're young to have people just do anything to make sure that you get to do what it is that you believe you must do. But the other tools, it's funny, I was also thinking that the tools that I have in my toolbox are things like books. Like, I have to be reading all the time. I have to be engaged in conversations about art and living in a way that stimulates my work. And friends. I have to have really strong group, a strong network of friends that will be really rigorously honest with me about my work and what's happening, that I can bounce ideas around, and then that creates a community. And that's the other thing, that even as a graduate student, I created a nonprofit space with others where we showed other people's work. And I've always found that it's hard for me to even imagine working without being part of it and acknowledging a large community of artists.
I think that's why spaces like Co-Prosperity Sphere and the arts centers, plural, in Bridgeport and Hilson and now in Logan Square, these collectives are popping up everywhere because I feel like people are starting to recognize that they really can't live in a silo and that these communities of like-minded people are really critical to their growth and success, even if they are in, I guess you could air quotes, competition for spaces and grants. At the end of the day, there has to be that community. But you were shaking your head no.
No, I was saying yes, that there's the competition ideally is in the studio, right, where you have people over and people are egging each other on to experiment and to push their work further. The community itself, I think, doesn't, or the fact that someone gets something next to you, it's good for everyone. And I have a feeling, especially here in Chicago, that understanding is very strong, that there isn't a kind of cutthroat competition at all, that there's really a celebratory aspect to the group of artists that stay here, that live here, go through school here, stay here, teach here, that make up the community here.
So you were mentioning one of your students or interns here. And, you know, I like this podcast to be a lot about advice and mentorship as well. So if you think back when you were an emerging artist, would there be any advice that you wish someone had told you, whether when you were coming out of high school or even graduate school? And, you know, thinking specifically to the next generation of artists who might be living in an urban environment, but don't necessarily have the connections.
I'm smiling because I'm thinking, well, the first thing I would wish that I, not so much that someone didn't tell me this, but I didn't pay attention if they did, which was to keep better records where my work was, because I have a lot of work I've made over the years, and I don't know where it is. I have not kept track of where it is. I've had so many different galleries and so many sales to so many different places around the world. It's really hard to find where things are. That's one thing. And the other is that everyone that you meet has the potential to become an ally at some point or another. And I would recommend not talking trash. And I have to say, I have broken that rule many times. But I think it's one of the most important things. So I teach a professional practice class. And there's like certain things that I say that I don't necessarily do, but that I tell people to do, which is...
Do as I say, not as I do.
You know, it's all a work in progress. So, no, it's always to be on time, to do what you say you're going to do, and if you can't, tell the person immediately that you can't. The other is to be as kind as possible to the people around you, because you never, just even for the enlightened self-interest reason of, you just don't know if you're ever going to have to work with them again. And to just work really hard, just expect to work really hard, expect to be ready. You know, so even if nothing's happening and you're working for years and you have all this work, you have all this work, you're ready, and be ready to say yes to opportunities. You know, the other thing is something that I did that a lot of people don't do. There's different ideas about how to respond to these things, but I have a tendency to say yes to, if not everything, pretty close. Because one of the values that I have is I need to be a participant, you know, in the world around me. And I tend to be not so picky about, where, you know, if a friend says, will you be in this show in an apartment gallery, I will say yes. You know, I will always say yes in that way. And for me, that's been really valuable practice and a valuable lesson, because I've been able to have cross-generational friends and connections that other people who don't say yes don't get to have. I get to have my work in a context where it might not normally be, because it's with really young artists or emerging artists, and that actually is a really interesting context for my own work. And I get to feel alive, you know, which is how I feel whenever my work is out in the world. So that is one of the things that has been very valuable for me.
Be careful what you wish for. You never know who's listening to this podcast. Well, I think that there is this kind of fantasy that you can become an artist, capital A, and everything will be okay. But I also like to be a realist at times and really dive into the question, well, how are you going to make a living? And, you know, you are an educator and you're teaching at Columbia College, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what would you say to that negotiation of earning a living as an artist or as an educator to those who are kind of seeking answers to the to that question?
I don't, you know, I have a really hard time with that question, because I decided that I was going to, my job in the world was going to be making artwork. And at the time I suppose, naive. I had no idea how I was going to make a living. I didn't know how to do anything else. I waitressed. And then I just had tremendous luck, and I was ready. You know, so someone came over, they bought a painting, I quit my waitress job. You know, they bought a painting for $1,000, and I just quit my job. So it's like, yay. I just did those things. I just worked. and I pretended that everything was going to be fine. I really, and I don't necessarily recommend this for people, but I am not a job counselor as a teacher. You know, I can teach people how to, methods to use to make their artworks. And I can teach them what I believe it means to be an artist in the world. You know, but there's no guarantee of any of it. There's no guarantee of a job. There's no guarantee of any of it. You know, I just barreled through. And I had, again, I had tremendous luck. I was in a space with other artists. Artists I shared a studio with didn't want to teach a class she was scheduled to teach, and she recommended me. So my first teaching job was at Art Center College of Design in Pasadena, and it's an incredible institution. And for some reason, I like to say that I was as dysfunctional as my colleagues in the perfect match, and I got to stay there for 10 years teaching graduate students. And it was luck and chance, but I was also there. You know, I was ready. You know, because I was dedicated to the work. I was part of circles. I had friends or people who were willing to help me by giving me opportunities, mm-hmm. and then I would reciprocate. So that kind of networking was really essential. But I fell into teaching. I had no idea. I had not planned that was what I wanted to do at all. But it seemed to be the main thing that I do. I mean, it was funny. I was thinking about, I had, sometimes you have an idea about yourself and it's one thing, and then I look at the reality of something else. So I was thinking, you know, I'm so open and I change so much, and here I am, I've lived all around the country and I don't stay in one place and I'm so fluid and all this. And then I thought, wait a minute, I literally started doing something focusing on something when I was six. And I am still doing that thing, and I am much older now. And so I've always done that. I've always made artwork, and I've taught for 30 years. So that's pretty consistent. Actually, I haven't deviated from any of that, which surprised me, because I actually do feel very fluid
mm-hmm.
also. So I guess one of the tools, if you go back to toolbox, it's being really steadfast and not fickle about what it is you decide to do. Unwavering. But at the same time, again, I made sure I didn't know how to do anything else.
Mm.
You know, Jess, you were telling me about learning computer skills at a certain point because you knew that would make you competitive and that was your toolbox. Well, I have to tell you that I learned typing in high school, and I made sure I learned it very poorly. I did not ever want to have to do that in any way for a living ever, and I did not want to know how to do it. So I kind of closed my options, and I'm not saying that this would work for anybody. I didn't have a wealthy family that supported me. I'm not a trust fund kid. I didn't, you know, but I always fell into teaching positions, or I did whatever I had to do to be able to continue to do this.
So that brings me to my last question, which is a fun one, and it's, what was the sweetest mistake that maybe you fell into or made?
You know, when I thought about that question, first I thought, well, there's so many art mistakes. Like, my whole practice is based on contingency and making mistakes and responding to them, and the kind of materials I use and everything I do is sort of based on that. But now hearing the question again, I'm thinking that, on one hand, I was exhibiting quite a bit in Los Angeles for years, and I had a teaching job, and I was working there, and I got it into my head that I needed to leave Los Angeles. And it was right at a time when Los Angeles was getting very world-renowned. It was when the Getty built their new museum, and all of a sudden being an LA artist was a really big deal. And I packed up my bags and I took a professor position at Washington University in St. Louis, never having been to the Midwest, never having been to St. Louis in particular, and never having had a full-time tenured position, right? So I switched in a way. I took the identity of academic for a while and went there. And then years later, I thought, well, that was a mistake. You know, that was a mistake to do that. I left this, you know, big career and in this beautiful, hot, sunny place that I grew up and all this stuff. And Now I realize that that was the sweetest mistake. That was no mistake at all. I'm just was really grateful to be able to have the kind of circuitous journey that I've had, and that leaving Los Angeles at that time was actually probably a really good thing for me, and I'm really happy that I did. But it was something that sometimes I go back on the fence about, but I think, no, that was no mistake.
What was it that made you decide to take that position?
I think I had a case of, I wanted a kind of institutional acknowledgement that I thought that working at a university like that would give me, and a kind of security blanket for my art practice as well. So having the teaching position really made it possible for me to do anything, which I could do anyway, but I had it in my head that this would be a wise thing to do. And it was probably one of the only times in my life that I actually put a kind of job security notion before anything else that I ever did.
And you just leapt headfirst.
Yes, I did.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we're lucky because that left you here in the Midwest with us.
Well, actually, no. I left St. Louis. I went to San Francisco to direct the graduate program at SFAI.
Okay.
And then I came here to Chicago. So there were a few years in between.
Okay.
You know, but I do like the idea that I have certainly lived and worked in many, many cities. And I actually, that's a thing I do recommend to people is to, you know, just move. I mean, in a way, like, get out from where you are, whether it's a short-term or long-term. Just, I believe in having those kind of experiences, not staying put, per se.
But I like that.
But then I'm a leaper. I'm a leaper, so.
Oh, well, see, I think this podcast is all about giving advice. And, you know, in that form, I think that talking about your sweetest mistake and being okay with taking that leap of faith and being okay with that transition of where your home base is, I think people need to be open to relocation and being a little bit transient today, because that's kind of just the culture of society now. We're a little bit more mobile, and that's a plus. In a way, it also makes it more challenging to find your community.
Mm-hmm.
But if you become more mobile, then you also are more open to new opportunities as they may present themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the last thing I'm going to share or ask is to tell us when the next place that we can see you or your work at the Cultural Center, perhaps.
Perhaps. No, yes. The Cultural Center, yes, I have a big show at the Cultural Center. It's open as we speak. The galleries are open. And the opening reception is September 12th. And I'm very excited about it. I've been working on the show. I proposed it initially in 2010. And so I've been preparing psychically for the show and working on the show for about 4 years. It's been a really interesting journey to do. So it's in the Chicago rooms on the second floor north off the Randolph Street exit entrance. And it's a 3,000 square foot
exhibition space.
I was going to say extravaganza, and I don't want to get anybody's hopes up. So,
well, and that reception on the 12th is at 6 o'clock?
It's 5:30 to 7:30.
5:30 to 7:30.
And then that evening at the Cultural Center, there's going to be, I think, one of their 24-hour ragas of Hindu music, which is fantastic. So
Wow. That
actually fits very well with my exhibition or my thinking about my exhibition. And so I can't wait for that. I'm really excited about that.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And I'll make sure that all that information gets posted along with this podcast. So
thank you, Jess.
Thank you so much for taking the time, and look for this online.